It's time for our weekly look at Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer.
Yesterday, President Obama announced that he is seeking to end bulk phone data collection. But how will Congress follow up on that proposal?
The Senate is in the midst of approving aid for Ukraine and authorizing sanctions against Russia. The U.S. government is concerned that Russia might not stop at Crimea.
And the enrollment period for health insurance through the government exchanges ends on Monday. Both Republicans and Democrats are eager to use whatever happens to bolster their cases in fall midterm elections, elections that popular statistics expert Nate Silver predicted this week might end with a Republican Senate.
Paul Singer joins us every Wednesday at this time to help make sense of everything Congress. Good to have you back, Paul.
Thanks. Good to be back with you.
So the White House, President Obama yesterday made some big news announcing that he wants to bring an end to the NSA's bulk phone data collection. I know some in Congress are trying to do something along the same lines. Is Congress going to be on board with what the president wants?
Probably not. I mean, I think they are on board with the general idea here is to get the government out of the business of collecting and holding large quantities of data. The question is how you do it. There are a couple competing legislative proposals already kicking around on Capitol Hill. I think some of the issues will be like, you know, how much permission does a judge have to give before some of this data can be opened by the FBI or other law enforcement? You know, I think the questions become technical rather than ideological. Because I think everybody does want to end this bulk collection, but some of those technical problems can really trip up a bill.
Well, with a plan for the president, you mentioned two plans in Congress. It could be a bit of a muddle, I think is the technical term. Is anything going to come out the other side on this?
You know, I think it will. This is one of those topics where there is a great deal of public agreement that something should be done. There is a great deal of agreement in Congress and in the White House that the programs as currently constructed are a bad idea and wildly unpopular. I mean, I think this is something that everybody realizes their constituents hate, and so they're going to want to try and fix it somehow. And keep in mind, we might not actually end up seeing the details of it in public, because some of this is intelligence gathering stuff that may be done privately. It may be done, it may be a confidential bill. I don't know.
So we'll know that something maybe has been done. We may not know exactly what.
That would not surprise me if they figure out some way to pass a bill that blurs over some of the details.
Huh. Well, also in the news, of course, Russia, Ukraine, Crimea, and Congress is working on this, looking at options for the U.S. Aid to Ukraine was stalled for a while. Has that been resolved?
It looks like it's been resolved. They were stalled over an argument over a Democratic proposal to restructure the International Monetary Fund. And this was attached to the Ukraine aid bill, and Republicans didn't want to get involved. It was going to probably be more money for the United States contributions to the IMF and less U.S. control, more control for other governments. The Republicans did not think this was a good idea and didn't think it was worth getting into it on the Ukraine bill. So they weren't going to allow the bill to move. And the Democrats finally conceded that, you know what, we're not going to hold up this bill any longer for this issue. So they dropped the issue. So now it's a clean, you would call it, Ukraine aid bill.
So they didn't need this IMF restructure to do what they wanted to do for Ukraine?
No. What they want to do for Ukraine is $150 million in cash, $1 billion in loan guarantees, and authorization for the president to pursue sanctions against Russia. The IMF stuff was the caboose on the train, and they could do without it.
President Obama's already been announcing sanctions on Russia. What does he need or want from Congress, and what are they doing?
Well, you know, the thing with the sanctions on Russia that we've thus far imposed are pretty piddling. It's sanctions against a bunch of individuals and their assets. They've attempted to sanction a couple of banks. But what Obama is really looking for is, first, the authority to go after broad sections of the Russian economy, like the energy sector, for instance. And second, I think more important even, is international agreement to enforce sanctions broadly. Sanctions that are imposed just by the U.S. are not going to be particularly influential if the Europeans are not playing along as well. So that's part of his European trip this week has been all about that.
Turning to health insurance now, the Affordable Care Act, less than a week till the deadline to apply to enroll for health insurance through government exchanges. That's coming up Monday, though, a little wiggle room given by President Obama if people get stuck along the way. What kind of discussion are we hearing from people in Congress about that?
Well, you know, it depends what party you're in, right? as usual, Democrats, well, let me just back up. Our analysis at this point suggests that the administration is going to get somewhere around the 6 million enrollments they wanted by the end of March. They may not get to the 7 million they had originally thought they needed, but I think they're going to cross the 6 million threshold, which they will declare a victory. They'll say, look, it's now the law. It's the law of the land. The American people are engaged and enrolled, and it's good. Republicans are saying, here is the administration again changing a deadline, as you suggested. They moved the sort of last-minute deadline for a couple of weeks for some people, probably a very small group. Republicans are saying they're moving the deadlines, they're changing the law unilaterally, it's still a bad idea, it's going to cost people a lot more money, and let us run the Congress and we'll fix it. It's going to be their campaign theme for the rest of the year.
And speaking of campaigns, Nate Silver, the pollster who got a lot of attention in the run-up to the presidential race, and he predicted it pretty solidly. He said in his latest snapshot, the Republicans have a pretty solid chance of taking the Senate seats that they need to take control of the Senate. Democrats, not happy about that. What's been the reaction?
I mean, this is the stuff that drives me nuts. I could have told you yesterday that the Republicans had a good chance to take the Senate. We've been reporting on this stuff all year long, and there's a bunch of Senate races where the Democrats look weak, et cetera, et cetera. What Nate Silver does is he runs a bunch of numbers through a model, and he comes up with a sort of percentage result based on what we know today. And so what we know today is, surprise, surprise, it looks like Republicans are in a good place to take back the Senate. Yippee. The Democrats went bananas because they think that Nate Silver said it must be true. I think that the Democrats are attacking Nate Silver as a way of frightening their base into giving more money. Nate Silver says we're going to lose. You better give us more money. But this is all nonsense. I mean, we're 6 months away from an election. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? All Nate Silver is doing is taking current existing polls that tell you exactly what you think they say, that the Democrats are in trouble and the Republicans are on the advantage. Great. Thanks, Nate.
Well, speaking of polls, you at USA Today released a poll recently about Americans' satisfaction with congressional politics. What did we learn from that?
Poll.
That was a really good one, huh?
Yeah, that one I liked. and it's interesting. I mean, the thing that we found that's most interesting is that Americans are sort of increasingly happy with a dysfunctional, divided Congress. They are saying basically that having strong partisan differences, one, prevents Congress from getting stuff done, which is okay because it stops dumb ideas from becoming law, and two, gives the voting public a real distinct choice between the Democrats and Republicans, and they like that.
And that's interesting. Well, Paul, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. We'll talk to you in a week.
That was Paul Singer. He's Congress and Politics Editor at USA Today. He joins us each Wednesday at this time to talk about the latest in politics. You can share your thoughts with us. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.